I'll call the meeting to order. This is a joint meeting of four different committees, so there'll be a lot of seats taken up. And we're going to start out with a presentation from House Research on the maintenance of effort requirements. So if you folks want to start, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Pat Dalton with House Research. I normally staff the tax committee, and with me are Lynn Aves and Danielle Lemire, who staff Human Services. We're going to basically provide a background on maintenance of effort and matching requirements that kind of came to light in some discussions that occurred during the tax committee. A vast majority of them are in the Health and Human Service area. Just to kind of lay out who's going to be talking about what, I'm basically going to talk about the numbers and the library maintenance of effort. Danielle and Lynn can answer questions about some of the Health and Human Service programs, generally what they are and things like that. And there are people here from the Department of Human Services who can speak in more detail about the maintenance of effort and matching fund requirements of those specific Health and Human Service programs. So,
Could you get a little closer to the microphone there?
Hello?
Can you
hear me now? do you want me to start all over?
Or? No.
Okay. So just to lay out exactly what it is that we are going to be talking about, we're talking about maintenance of effort, which is a requirement that a local government spend a minimum amount on a program. And often this is passed as a historical funding level. So it's like whatever you spent in 1986. The matching requirements that we are going to talk about require a local government to fund a certain percent of program costs. We are going to talk about MOEs and mandatory matching fund requirements in the subject areas of library, child care, health and human services. The question always comes, why does the tax committee care about all of these? Well, the reason the tax committee is starting to look at it is that local governments have been asking for relief from these maintenance of effort and matching fund requirements due to tight levy limits and likely aid cuts. To give you a sense of the impact on counties, the programs that we're going to talk about today account for $340 million of MOE or matching fund requirements, and this is 12.2% of the county's levy plus aid. And levy plus aid is what we normally use as a proxy of own source revenues for counties. So the programs we're talking about here is over 10% of the county's own source revenue spending. What we aren't going to cover in this presentation is voluntary matching requirements. For example, there used to be a federal COPS program that for every dollar you spent on hiring police, you know, you'd get more money from the feds. We also aren't going to talk about mandates. Mandates are things like child support enforcement requirements or some public safety requirements to meet jail standards. They certainly impose costs on local governments, but they aren't a specified dollar cost. And to expand to all mandates would just be well beyond our capability. To give you an idea of how big these programs are, libraries are $97.2 million of county MOE. There's another $65 million of library MOE that's on cities. Child care is our smallest MOE that we're going to be talking about today. It's only $2.9 million statewide. Mental health is $120 million statewide. And the other health and human service MOEs and matching funds that we're going to talk about are another $115 million. For those of you who are working, who are on the Health and Human Service Committee and not the Tax Committee, you are going to get exposed to something that we do in taxes all the time, which is we inundate you with numbers.
We inundate our members with acronyms.
Mr. Chair, I noticed that while I was putting this presentation together. I was constantly saying, what is IRC and RTC and things like that. So you're right. You do acronyms. We do big sheets of numbers. There are three sets of numbers, packets of numbers in your packet that I just want to talk about really briefly so you can kind of follow along. So I'm going to hold them up and tell you what they are. The first one, which is the thickest packet, has at the top county share of MOE or MOE projected costs. This basically across has the funding by county for all the programs we're going to talk about. And as the chair mentioned, if you get to the third program where it says ICF, MR, and DTH, yes, these people really do have a lot of acronyms. But that's what these people are here to describe. The first part of this printout actually has three sections, and it's basically the same data, just presented slightly different ways. The first two pages is just showing you what each county has paid or is required to spend for each of these programs. The next two full sheets put that on a per capita basis. One of the problems with just looking at the spending is it's really hard to compare on a county-by-county basis. So we're going to give you two ways to compare this spending on a county-by-county basis. The middle part, two pages, puts it all on a per capita county share. And then the last two pages of this printout do this as a percent of tax capacity. So you can see if they were levying entirely for this county share, this is what the tax rate would have to be in each of these counties to pay for this service, for these services. And we will kind of point you to the highlights as we go through this.
Representative Lynn Jesse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Dalton, can you take a county, somebody's county maybe, I don't know, Representative Gottwald or Representative Ansel, somebody, and just tell us that again in a way we can all...
Okay.
Especially, I mean, the tax people are used to looking at what the net tax burden is on, but maybe for everybody else, just pick a county and walk us through what the three different things mean.
Representative Lynchewski, Ms. Chair, I've been asked to do Stearns County, so I will do Stearns County. If you go to the second page, near the at the very top of that page, I'm going to just do it for library support. You will notice that Stearns County's library MOE is $1.9 million. If you go two pages later, at the top, you will see that same number put on a per capita amount. Stearns County is paying $13.25 per capita for its library MOE. If you go two pages later, oh, and unfortunately, I didn't do the break quite right. I guess you only get to go, you have to go to the back of one page later.
No, we're not. Four down.
Oh, I'm sorry, here's Stearns. And you'll find Stearns, you will see that if the libraries were levying for their entire library, if Stearns County was levying for its entire library MOE, that's a tax rate of 1.29% on its adjusted tax capacity. For people who do not work in the area of taxes, adjusted tax capacity, which you will hear us call ANTC, is basically a city or county tax base adjusted for differences in assessment practices. So it makes it apple-to-apple comparison on a county-by-county basis. The other two handouts that you have, there is a handout that says per capita county MOE match mental health spending by program. when you look at the big first handout, you will see, one, two, three, the fifth column in, there is a total mental health required spending. That actually has a lot of sub-programs in it. A lot of those programs have individual matching requirements. But so we can get this all into one page, we just did one mental health number. There's also another reason. There is a maintenance of effort requirement for mental health that applies to virtually all the mental health programs overall, in addition to their individual matching requirements. Mental health is a very complicated issue, and DHS is actually going to get up and talk about kind of the mental health MOE separately. But so this as this second printout actually provides you detail of the per capita spending by the individual program in the mental health area. And the final printout that I just want to hold up is city library maintenance of effort requirement. The only maintenance of effort requirement that we're going to be talking about that doesn't, that affects something more than counties, is the library. And it affects 119 cities. And so we just want to provide the city by city information to the libraries as well. So with that, Mr. Chair, we're going to start with the libraries. Start with the libraries because it's the only one I really know a whole lot about. As I said, libraries are $95 million of maintenance of effort for libraries for counties, and another $65 million of maintenance of effort for cities. It is both an MOE and matching requirement for counties. And the cities are a little unique. It's only a matching requirement for counties, and by match we mean if the city's willing to give up the grant, they don't have to, you know, meet the match. However, the way the matching requirement is written in the library, if any participating city or county in the regional library system does not meet their match, the regional library system loses its entire regional library grant. So even though it's not written as an MOE for cities in the statute, the effect is it is an MOE for the city. So how is that MOE determined? It's based on the lesser of 0.82% of tax capacity or $12.62 per capita. And that per capita amount adjusts every year. It grows at half the rate of the growth in tax base statewide. Now, if the tax base goes down, it never has before, but if the tax base goes down statewide, which it might in the next few years, this per capita amount will actually go down. The other thing that's interesting about the library's MOE is that the only time a city or county can reduce its spending for libraries is if its ANTC or its individual tax rate, tax capacity, has gone down in the previous 2 years. So since that's never happened before, this has always been a constantly growing number. The other thing is if a county or city has voluntarily increased its payment to libraries in any 1 year, that becomes its maintenance of effort requirement on an ongoing basis. So there's a real disincentive to provide additional discretionary spending to libraries in the parts of counties and cities because it becomes a permanent part of their MOE. So what is the MOE? For counties, the average is $15.28 per capita or 1.13% of its tax capacity. I need to say one more thing about how the library MOEs for counties is calculated. If there is a city in a county that is also providing library support, the county's population and the county's tax base is reduced by the population or tax base in the city. So essentially you aren't double paying. So for instance, Hennepin County has a library maintenance of effort. Minneapolis has a library maintenance of effort. So when you're calculating the maintenance of effort for Hennepin County, you subtract off the Minneapolis population and the Minneapolis tax base to calculate Hennepin County's maintenance of effort requirements. So when we're looking at these maintenance of effort requirements, we've done that, so we aren't double counting the city and county. So Roseau County has the lowest per capita maintenance of effort at $5.48. If you're looking at it on a per capita basis. But if you're looking at it at a tax rate basis, Traverse County has the lowest, with it being a tax rate of 0.39%. So, you know, how you look at it will determine who's lowest and who's highest. Hennepin County has the highest per capita maintenance of effort at $52 per capita. And again, remember that's not counting what's going, you know, that's just looking at Hennepin outside of like Minneapolis. Watonwan, however, has the highest maintenance of effort as a percentage of tax base, and that's 4.58%.
Madam or Mr. Chair?
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I wasn't sure who was chairing the meeting at this point. Couple of quick questions for Ms. Dalton. You indicated that ANTC has never gone down, therefore this functions as an MOE. Given the current residential housing market and increasingly the current and projected forward commercial market, might we see potentially a change in that, if not this year, next year, year after, depending on timelines? Speculative, I reckon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dazney, yes, actually I believe there are 13 counties who have slightly lower MOEs in 2009 than they had in 2008. But if your individual county's MOE, individual county's tax base is not going down, even if statewide tax base is going down, you can't spend on libraries less than what you spent 2 years previously. So it's got to be what's going on specifically in your county or your city to actually reduce your spending.
Quick follow-up.
Representative Dabney.
Clarification. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Dalton. In discussing Hennepin County, given that the city of Minneapolis and Hennepin County library systems merged, Is your discussion that they still are counted separately have to do with the bond payments on the Downtown Central Library, or can you just explain that to me, because I don't think we have a library system in my city anymore?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Daphne, you're right, you don't have a library system in your city or my city. but they are part of a regional library system, and there are cities within a regional library system that provide separate MOEs. Minneapolis must continue to provide separate library spending from the rest of Hennepin County. It has nothing to do with whether they merged or not. Their MOE is determined based on their past behavior.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Dalton.
There's minor variation in county library MOEs. There's fairly major variation in city library MOEs. 119 cities out of the 854 cities in the state have a library maintenance of effort. And the average for those cities is $38.87 per capita. The lowest is the city of Monticello at $3.17 per capita. That's ignoring the fact that we also have 700 cities who are not providing any library maintenance effort. The highest is the city of McKinley at $110.88 per capita. This has the biggest variation of any MOE that we looked at. As I said, you've got to remember, you get different highs depending on whether you're looking at tax rate or if you're looking at per capita amount. Browns Valley, which I believe is actually in Representative Marquardt's district, has the highest MOE in terms of tax rate. Its tax rate to support its library MOE is 43.61%. That's about one-third of the total average tax rate for an average location in the state, and I'm talking county, city, town, special district, school district. So this is a really enormous library MOE. And we'll move on to the next MOE.
Representative Markworth.
Thank you very much. One quick question for Ms. Dalton. What's the reason for the huge variation there? What is causing that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Markworth, I've heard some of the discussions in the past. For instance, McKinley's has to do with the fact that McKinley is a very small city that's had a declining population. And so the fact that you aren't ever allowed to decrease your library efforts means that your per capita amount can go up enormously if you lose a lot of population. I'm really not sure why Browns Valley has such a high MOE as a percent of its tax rate. It may have to do with some optional discretionary spending, you know, some choices that they made in the past that are now reflected as permanent requirements.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, Danielle Amir from House Research, and I'm going to run through some of the human services programs now, the first of which is child care assistance, which provides a subsidy to low-income families to help with child care expenses. This program has a fixed local match requirement for counties, and it's based on each county's calendar year 1996 required county contribution reduced by the administrative funding loss that would have occurred in state fiscal year 96 due to changes that were made to reimbursement for administrative expenses. The average fixed local match for counties is 55 cents per capita. The lowest is Scott County that has no match requirement, and the highest is Traverse County with a match of $1.58 per capita. The next program is intermediate care facilities for people with developmental disabilities.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt Ms. Lemire for just 1 second. If you are looking at the large sheet, we are following along by column on that sheet. So if, you know, we've just done libraries and we've done the child care sliding C, the ICF, FR, and DPH is the intermediate care facility. So we're just going to go through these column at a time.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, ICF, MR is like a nursing home, but it's for people with severe disabilities.
Mr. Chair, I'll continue on with the intermediate care facilities. There's a local match requirement for counties that was put in statute, I believe, in 2003. And this states that counties must contribute 10% of the cost of placements that have exceeded 90 days in an ICF for people with developmental disabilities in a facility that has 7 or more beds. The average match requirement for counties is 78 cents per capita. Chisago County is the lowest at 15 cents per capita, and Pipestone County has the highest match at $2.07 per capita.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Garofalo. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question while we're in the middle of this. With MOE, if a local unit of government doesn't meet the MOE standard, what do we do to them?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'm not really sure what the answer is. MOE is a mandate. There are some issues with the matching funds. The matching funds, actually, there are some... you know, in some cases, if the local government chooses not to levy at the matching funds amount, clearly they will lose money. Part of these, in the health and human service areas, the MOE or the matching fund is actually a function, I believe, of federal government requirements. And so if we don't meet those, either the state has to pick them up because the feds require that the program be funded, or we lose federal money. Or sometimes a combination of the two. And I would actually defer to people from the department who can probably address that much better. And they are going to be speaking after we open.
Mr. Chairman, we'll just ask that question when I get down then.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next program on the circuit is the Child Welfare Targeted Case Management, which I was going to say, I'll let Lynn describe what it is. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Lynn Ace with House Research. Targeted Case Management is a program that's designed to coordinate services to children and families, typically those that are involved with the child welfare system or are at risk of becoming involved with the child welfare system. The monies related to this are medical assistance funds, and they were scheduled to expire April 1st of 2009, but they have been extended until July 1st of this year through the bill that was just passed by the President yesterday. The base year for MOE is the calendar year ending at least two quarters prior to when the county first is reimbursed under the section. It is a substantial amount of money, as you can see, from the spreadsheet that Pat has provided to you. And I believe it was 2 years ago that a one-time appropriation was given to counties of about $30 million to help them offset the cost that they were going to lose for the federal match. The average MOE for counties is $11 per capita. Fillmore County has the lowest at $2 per capita, and Manoman County has the highest match at $85.88 per capita, or 9.13% of their ANPC. And St. Louis County is the next highest representative on this. Mr. Chair and members of all these committees, I would take the Manoman numbers here with a grain of salt. We found an error in another Manoman number earlier this morning and did some corrections. And before we decide that this is truly this high, I would like to take another look with the department at the Child Welfare Targeted Case Management number and make sure that this truly is this high for Manoman County. There have just been some data errors in which numbers get assigned to which counties based on how you sort counties alphabetically. And so I just want to verify that number. So please take that number with a grain of salt.
I could just mention St. Louis County. They have this high level because they had started doing this before the rest of the state, basically. And when the feds do something, they always punish the good people. And so that's why that one's so high.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is really true. The way a lot of maintenance of effort requirements are written, you have to continue to fund whatever you were funding at the time that the match or the grant or the other thing came into place. So counties are actually tend to get punished for being ahead of the curve or trying to deal with problems that had not been dealt with in other counties.
Ms. Dalton, is that a do the feds require that the state have its maintenance of effort, or does the feds require that each individual county do that?
Mr. Chair, we are so far out of my area of expertise. There is a list of an inventory that the Department of Human Services did that looked at programs that if we reduce the requirements for counties, what it would cost the state. And I know that this is one of the programs that if the counties don't do, the state has to do. But Whether it's a federal maintenance of effort that applies statewide, I don't know, and I think we have to have the department.
Okay. When they testify, we'll have them talk about that. So, Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just for the benefit of the Tax Committee members and maybe some of the Health and Human Service Committee members, all of these things are totally related to history that may go back 25 years. And some of them were imposed by the state when it decided to start a new program. And the advocacy group said, we don't want the leaders to pull back and substitute state money for what they've been putting in as property taxes. And so, you know, it's the no good deed goes unpunished. Those who are out front get frozen into a levy forever, even though it was originally discretionary funds. I call that a financial mandate. Until recently that the feds have put a maintenance of effort in. They're doing it now with the stimulus package. But a lot of times it has been when we've created a program for which we sought federal medical assistance or other federal funding, we've actually made that a part of it, and the state, in applying for permission from the federal government, approves it as part of our federal plan, is my understanding. But every single one of these has a very different history. Some of them adjust over time to changing conditions. Most of them don't. And I think there's probably not a single person, even in the Department of Human Services, who has any clue about how every single one of these evolved. But I hope we're proven wrong.
Mr. Chair, when the Tax Committee was looking at the suspension of maintenance of effort requirements that had been inadvertently, we'll say, included in the tax bill last year, one of the things that happened is that some of these are statutory mandates. They aren't mandates by the feds. They are actually state mandates. And the way the suspension of the maintenance of effort had been done, because we hadn't changed the statutory mandate that the service be provided, we just said the counties didn't have to pay. The statutory mandate to provide the service stays in place, and so that's where it was really causing the cost to the state, because if the counties weren't paying, then the state, under the current state statute, would have to continue to pay. Now, of course, you know, if you're looking at this broadly, the state could choose to reduce the statewide mandate as well as change the mandate on an individual county basis. Which is mental health, which is one of my favorite areas. And I spent a lot of time looking at this area. As I said, mental health is one of the most complicated areas of health and human service spending that has both maintenance of effort and matching fund requirements. There is one overall maintenance of effort for all subprograms of mental health except for certain sex offender costs related to the sexual psychopaths and sexually dangerous persons that have been committed to, civilly committed to Moose Lake. So that does not count in the mental health maintenance of effort, but all the other mental health programs count to the mental health maintenance of effort. And then each of these subprograms, many of these subprograms also have separate matching fund requirements. So, which means that some of these subprograms, their spending because of the matching funds requirement may actually be higher than the maintenance of effort requirement under the overall MOE that applies to health programs. Basically, the total of all county mental health costs, excluding sex offenders, is $114 million. The MOE is $111 million. So that extra $3 million is due to the fact that, in some cases, the matching requirement is higher than the MOE requirement. We'll get to that in a second. Just looking at the averages. This is one of the biggest programs for maintenance of effort. As I said, it's about $119 million total, including the sex offenders. Average spending for counties is about $22 per capita. Murray County has the lowest at $2.74 per capita. please note this is probably understated. Murray is one of the counties that actually provides its human services in a group. So Murray is part of a group with Lyon Lincoln. And although this number has been assigned to Murray, some of Murray's costs may actually have been assigned to Lincoln and Lyon, because they really have one overall maintenance of effort, and so this may actually be understated slightly, to just take it with a grain of salt. Pipestone County has the highest spending at almost $49 per capita. There are four other counties who have spending for mental health that's above $40 per capita. So this one, you know, has a fairly wide range. As I said, you have a...
If I could interrupt, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That brings up a question for me. If we have some consolidation of county functions, which has been proposed, and we didn't make any changes in the MOEs, what would happen? Would we just have the MOEs for a combined, for groups of counties, would just be the MOEs, the combined MOEs, just have one pot, throw all the money into that, and then have that be for the group of counties? Is that how it would work under current law?
Ms. Alden.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I would not dare to even guess. I know that there is a governor's initiative to require counties to look at combining and providing these services regionally, and there's a very big carrot or stick, depending on how you look at it, to do this, because the governor is proposing that if they don't do it, their county program aid is going to be cut very significantly more than it would be otherwise. But when we had this presented to us in the tax committee, they said they don't have a whole lot of details yet, that they are going to be working with the counties on an ongoing basis to figure out how exactly this is going to work. So I don't know that even DHS has an answer to how this is going to work and how this is going to interact with the MOEs. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I did mention there was a separate handout that actually provided on a per capita basis detail on the individual mental health spending program. And I would suggest you might want to take a look at that. The first column on that printout is the actual MOE for each individual county. It is based on the average county spending in 2004 and 2005 for mental health minus federal and state spending that same year. One of the things that's very interesting about this maintenance of effort is that there are some counties who actually have a negative maintenance of effort. If you go to, for instance, Clearwater County on the first page, it has a negative maintenance of effort. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I think this is a question that needs to be asked the Department of Human Services, but it is just an interesting anomaly. The part with the largest per capita variation is in the other mental health category, and that ranges from zero to nearly $40 per capita, which is subject to the MOE, but there are no matching funds involved in that total. The mental health targeted case management, this is services for children and adults, shows the next most variation between counties from $1.70 to about $29 per capita. And unless somebody has a question about a specific mental health program, what it is, or you know, we're just going to move on from there.
Go ahead.
The next program is the Chemical Dependency Fund. This also has a maintenance of efforts and matching fund requirements. When we looked at this in the tax committee, when we were looking at the suspension of the maintenance of efforts, this is, again, a very difficult formula to look at. There's interactions between about three different sections of statutes. Counties generally pay 15% of the cost of the services from the Chemical Dependency Fund from local funds. But at some point, the maintenance of effort kicks in, and 40% of these counties are suddenly paying 100% of the cost for a certain period, and then they go back to only paying 15% of the cost. It's kind of like the donut in the drug programs at the federal level. I can't explain it, and I do know that DHS is going to come up and actually talk about this maintenance of effort.
Representative Gottwald. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chai. I understand DHS is going to come up, and so maybe I'll just wait for that. But, you know, it strikes me, and it's striking a number of us around within earshot here, that, you know, where did these goofy formulas come from? And can somebody please explain why it's doing what it's doing? I hope DHS can enlighten us. Continue, please.
In the Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund, the average spending for counties is $5.57 per capita. Itasca has the lowest at zero. Manoman has the highest at $24.50 per capita, or $2.58% of their ANTC. Sibley County is the next highest with $21.78 per capita.
Mr. Chair, next is the nursing facilities for people under age 65. This is a county match requirement of 20% of the share of medical assistance costs not picked up by federal funds for people under 65 years old with disabilities after their placement in a nursing facility exceeds 90 days. Average spending for counties is $2.16 per capita. There are several counties that spend nothing. Watonwan County has the highest spending at $12.26 per capita, and Faribault County is the next highest at $12.22 per capita. The next program is group residential housing. This MOE is identical to the nursing facilities match. For people with disabilities under the age of 65. It covers cases where a group residential housing facility has status as an institution for mental disease. The average spending for counties is 3 cents per capita. Most counties spend nothing, and Hennepin County has the highest spending at $1.15 per capita.
Representative Stephen.
Thanks. And the last two that you did, those aren't MOEs in the same way as these other ones where you have a baseline of spending. This is just 20% of your population, right? So this is a different animal, I think. Am I right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Houston, that's correct. It's just a percentage of the spending. And these were put into statute, I believe, in 2003, so they're relatively new.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Houston, the reason that they are included here is that when they are a mandated provided service. So even though it's a match, they don't have a choice about whether they provide the service or not. So they were one of the, these were two of the programs that were included when the state had accidentally imposed the suspension on MOEs and matching funds. And these two had a cost to the state.
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chair, I think particularly on the group residential housing, with it being an institution of mental disease, that's when you have over 15 people with a serious mental health diagnosis in one living situation or institution, those tended to be developed in the metro area because there wasn't the state hospital capacity that there was in greater Minnesota in relationship to the population. And so it's a function of history, again, is my understanding.
Representative Next.
Mr. Chair, for vulnerable adult and developmentally disabled case management, the county pays all non-federal costs of providing the case management for these individuals, and it must be paid with non-federal funds that are not used to match other funds. The average spending for counties is 76 cents per capita. Traverse County spends nothing. Kennebec County has the highest spending at $2.47 per capita. Several other counties also spend over $2 per capita. So, sum this up. The two largest county MOEs on a per capita basis are the mental health and the library, and both of these have significant variation in required spending levels between local governments. In particular, the library spending MOE for cities, there's an incredible amount of variation there. The tax burden from these programs is overall is highest in Manoman County, and it's 17% of its tax capacity. To give you a comparison, the county's payable 2009 levy is 77% of its tax capacity. So this is a little bit more than one-fourth of what the county levies is going to these MOEs. And for Manoman County, it is primarily the human service MOEs and matching funds. Even in other counties, the MOE and matching fund requirements are not a trivial portion of the county's total own revenue sources. And with that...
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the excellent presentation, all of you. Just for other members in the room, Representative Huntley and I had asked the folks at this table, our nonpartisan staff who works for all of us, to try to take a look at all this, and I think it really did come out of a combination of last year's tax bill, now a deficit. And honestly, I think if people were listening to the presentation, this system is absolutely not working. It's impossible. I think Representative Gottwald got it right. What the heck is going on here? and I think it takes a good deficit to get people to have the guts to look at this. And this seems to me, and I would say to the two health chairs here, we've got a big nut to crack here. Because most of the MOEs are taking place in health and human services. There are a few others, as we heard, in libraries. But, you know, I think we're all in a box, and we all have to think our way out of this box. We've had these moments in time where in the tax area we've removed grandfathers because we've been able to see that property tax relief was basically based on what you used to get, not what you needed today. And so there have been multiple efforts by both parties over many years to make some of these changes. It appears to me that maintenance of effort has never been changed. The numbers appear to be just, if you used to spend on something, whether you still should or not, you still have to. And we, the legislature, is going to tell the local units of government, you got to keep spending on it, even if it doesn't make sense. And then we're going to take away your aid. We're going to cut your county aid. And if you're a city, we're going to cut your LGA. And then we're going to put levy limits on you, too, so you really don't have any place to move around. And then we have all these mandates. So I think we're seeing bipartisanly that the governor is looking at consolidating counties, and he's got a characteristic, as was stated before, to get people to get more aid if they do different consolidation. You've got the tax committee who's wrestling with levy limits, how much to cut counties, how much to cut cities, and then Health and Human has all these maintenance of efforts going on, and I think this is illustrative of the problem. Representative Anderson on the floor a couple days ago, who's a freshman who until I heard him say something, I think he talked about it and said, you know, what are we going to do here? This is it. I mean, I don't know how the health committees will proceed. I think this is very difficult, and I don't think there's anyone who doesn't think that Representative Huntley's bill is going to cut something or the tax bill is going to cut something. It's how do you do it fairly, and how do we begin to get our heads around, you know, what's going on the levy side and the tax bill and the spending side in the health area. So, you know, I think members who know a lot about this, and I'm not one of them, need to start helping on both sides of the aisle to get us through this deficit. And I just really thank you for this presentation, because it's complicated stuff.
Representative Abler.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Two questions about libraries, if I can just go back to that. On the MOE part, if you add technology or just some capital improvements, does that built into the MOE, or is that held offline from that minimum?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, I believe that there are some new initiatives that are now being held offline that are not being built into the MOE, and I do think there are some capital costs related to the library that are no longer being built into the MOE. But I wouldn't say I'm an expert enough on the library MOE to say definitively which capital costs are not included.
Thank you. Just one other question. So, and with the MOEs, with the local aid cuts and all that happened, if a city or a county is low on money, are they forced to spend their MOE on libraries and not be allowed to reduce those, and they have to lay off other things they deem more essential than that? With all respect to libraries. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, that's correct. Right now, if we're cutting county program aid or city LGA, which has clearly been proposed, the counties and cities who are getting those reductions will have to make their reductions in other spending. They will not be allowed to make the reductions in the libraries under current law.
Representative Loffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's kind of interesting because I sit on both of these worlds now. But, you know, the measures of equity, you have to understand, are not related to caseload. They're not related to, there's no tax equalization, which is a concept that we typically use in all other local government aid programs and has been the basis of school aid since 1971 or 72. It's not related to changing demographics. And it makes me, the quote that I always use, and I was so glad that I ran into Jans Maybe, who some of you might know because she used to be a co-host of Almanac. She at one time was a Health and Human Services Director at Hennepin County. And at one point it was rumored that she was going to be appointed into a new administration in a high-level position. And one of the reporters ran up to her and said, "Is it true that you're going to be Commissioner of Health and Human Services?" And she laughed, that wonderful laugh she has. And then she said, "Oh my gosh, no, I said I would never go near that again unless I was empowered to totally blow it up and start all over." And I'm increasingly using that quote, so I was glad I ran into her this year to tell her that. But the range of expectation, too, is huge. Just on a per capita basis, there's many of these that have a minimum of zero. So some counties have no obligation to put any local property tax dollars in. Some have a requirement to spend 30 times the average. 30 times the average. I haven't gone through it on the property tax burden side, but once again, the minimum is zero. Some communities don't have to put any property taxes in, and others, I think it's probably going to be 8 or 9 times the average would be the range. And it really is an unfair tax burden to communities that are just saddled with history. It's not related to current needs. And it's going to be difficult to sort this out because every single dollar here represents a service that goes to someone who has very serious, serious challenges in their life. But to me, the overarching values that we should move forward on with a reform effort is, one, there should be equal access to services no matter where you live. And that's the story behind these numbers. If you live in a certain county, your chances of getting service with a certain need are dramatically less, and you might have a lot longer time on a waiting list than if you live in another county. And if we're going to have a statewide system, I think anyone who has a particular health or mental health or chemical dependency challenge should have equal access. And it seems like we should have a fairly similar expectation of local contribution. In the 1990s, it was a major victory for counties when they actually had the human services into maintenance takeover, in which all medical services, all financial support, and a few other programs were supposed to be totally funded by state and federal dollars, and the property taxes were removed out of that program. When we hit financial trouble at the state level, all of these things started creeping back, and some of them, quite honestly, came because counties requested it. The federal government was dangling out there some new money, but it required a match, and the state agency said, "We can't come up with it," and county said, "Can we match it? Because we've got this huge group of people with needs that we want to try and do something with." And so you know, I think it's been put together with good intentions from everyone involved, but the end result is real inequities.
Well, thank you for your testimony. You were finished, right?
We are finished.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Great job, and you certainly have pointed out some problems for us to deal with. And next we have the Department of Human Services presentation. And by the way, Assistant Commissioner Wilkin brought in a something that's been handed out, and it basically goes through all the maintenance of effort things in a little bit more detail than we just had. If you can't sleep tonight, this would be just still going to read.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Zockhill from the Department of Human Services, and with me is Jeff Hunsberger from our Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division. We were asked to provide you with more detail regarding the mental health and chemical dependency MOEs. You should have in your packets two single sheets, one labeled mental health maintenance of effort and the other one chemical dependency maintenance of effort. So I'll walk you through the mental health one, and Jeff will do the same for chemical dependency.
Go ahead.
Okay, please feel free to interrupt me as we go. As Ms. Dalton explained, mental health MOE includes a number of separate match programs. And what I'll do is first explain the MOE part of the requirement and then talk about how that overlaps with the match requirement. Minnesota statutes requires counties to maintain their spending for mental health services at least at the average of the 2004-2005 level. So it's fixed at a certain point in time. There is no adjustment for inflation. There is no requirement for counties to replace cuts in state or federal funding that comes in for mental health services or any other kind of revenues for mental health services. However, if a county gets increased money for mental health services, then it's required to spend that money for increased services. And I'll talk a little bit more later in the background section as to what that's all about. But the net effect of that is that new mental health grants or revenues have to be used for service expansion. The mental health MOE statute includes these provisions, but the term mental health MOE, because of these provisions, really then refers to the county tax, county discretionary spending. And so the chart that Ms. Dalton showed you, where the numbers that she's referring to as mental health MOE, do not include these other revenues that counties might get for mental health. What she's showing is that net amount of county discretionary money. And really that's what's fixed at the 0405 level. One change in revenues that is not adjusted in the mental health MOE is changes in revenues that are not specific to mental health. For example, a change in local government aid. That's something that was not anticipated when the statute was written. Going on, the next set of bullets respond to one of the questions that came up earlier. What happens to a county that doesn't comply? I'll talk a little bit later about the match issue, but setting aside the match, just on the MOE side in mental health, if a county doesn't maintain its expenditures at the required level, it's first given an opportunity to develop a corrective action plan, which basically would indicate how is it going to make up that underspending. And if the county does not develop an acceptable corrective action plan, or if it's not in compliance with an approved plan, then what happens is that it loses the protection from lawsuits that counties currently have in the Mental Health Act. This all goes back to the mandated services in the State Mental Health Act. There's a series of services that counties are mandated to provide. However, because counties were worried that they wouldn't have enough money to provide all those services, the legislature gave them some protection from individual lawsuits. And so what this MOE provision does is it says if a county reduces its discretionary spending below this minimum level, the consequence is that it loses that protection from lawsuits that the legislature gave it back when the Mental Health Act was written. Okay, any questions about that before I move on?
Questions? Don't see any yet.
Wonderful. The next section overlaps with match requirements. As Representative Loeffler indicated earlier, there are a number of services that traditionally have been county services. And when we identified the opportunity to get a federal match, as usual, the state was not in a position to come up with the state match. And so counties chose to provide that match in order to get federal money. Now, the way medical systems works, as most of you know, is that with two exceptions, it has to be a statewide program. So it's not a local option. We either do it as a state or we don't do it. And so that's what we've done with these services, is we obtained federal approval to get a federal match, which brought in the 50% federal share. And then counties provided the non-federal matching funds. So that includes medical assistance for children in the state RTCs. Now that one has its own little history, which is a little bit different. The second bid is not MA. That's a different issue. That's the county share of RTCs. And as Ms. Dalton said, there's the one exception within that where county share of sex offender treatment is the one match that does not count towards the MOE. Going on, there's also the county share for mental health case management, and then for children's residential treatment. Unless there are questions about that, I'll move that on to the background.
Well, let me ask that my question again. If the feds, do they require us as a state to have a maintenance of effort, or do they require that individual counties have an MOE?
Mr. Chairman, the federal government simply requires a match. And the match can come from the state or the county. So if the state can decide where that comes from, the state can, it's a state decision then to whether to put MOE requirements in terms of what a county does with that new federal money that they receive.
Thank you.
Background for the mental health MOE. This was a critical part of the governor's mental health initiative in 2006. If you recall, there was significant testimony regarding unmet needs in the area of mental health. The governor came in with a proposal for significant new funding to expand availability of mental health services. But there was concern that counties might use this new funding to simply replace their own funding. Historically, counties have been a very major role have played a major role in funding for mental health services. It's been a key part of the mental health system. And so the idea of the governor's mental health initiative was to build on that and not to replace it. As Ms. Dalton indicated, much of the MOE, the mental health MOE, is used for these matches. But a little bit over half of the mental health MOE is used for non-match programs. And at the bottom of the sheet there, I provide some examples of the kinds of things that counties pay for that are not matched. $66 million for uninsured individuals, underinsured individuals. Data has shown that people with serious mental illness are less likely to have health care coverage than people with other disabilities. And there are a number of services that are needed in mental health that are not covered as health care coverage, such as children's respite care, housing support services. These are the kinds of services that keep people out of hospitals and institutions, but they are not directly covered by the various health care programs. So that county contribution, the county support of these services is a very important part of the system.
Representative Abler.
Thanks. I think we're done with this section. Just in a grander picture, there was a bill where it was an untesty bill, which she apologized for having to pass, trying to keep her word that she had given, and I supported the effort about keeping words and all that. Is there going to be a department proposal to fix some of this stuff that, you know, you can see we're getting more aware of it? Is that coming when the bills come, or can you give us a hint about what sort of things we can see from the department coming about some of this matter?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Abler, I can't say for certain that there will be a proposal. I know we're doing some work on it. I myself have worked with the counties and mental health advocates to organize a work group. There are no simple answers in this area. There's a lot of valid concerns on all sides, and so we're trying to look at what might be some reasonable solutions to some of the reasonable concerns.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Zakel, so I appreciate that, but a lot of us voted for that thing kind of in faith that there'd be some work done. So I hear you saying is you're hoping we'll think of good ideas that will run by you and put into a bill and see what the governor thinks. Is that and hope he signs it, and we'll hope there'll be cooperation from the department about that, right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Abler, we're certainly interested in ideas. I'm hoping that we'll come in with some of our own too, although I mean, we're going to be soliciting ideas from counties and mental health advocates.
Okay, any further questions on the mental health part? Then we'll go to the chemical dependency.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I'm Jeffrey Hunsberger from the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division at DHS. The sheet you have for chemical dependency maintenance of effort is written in more of a narrative form, and I think it might be simplest if I not walk you through it, but try to walk you through it verbally. The Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund has a requirement of DHS in statute to assign an allocation amount for each county and an MOE for that. Each county has the responsibility of paying 15% of each chemical dependency placement cost until such time as their allocation has been exhausted, that target has been met. The MOE is set individually, and it's based on the year 1988, which looks quite a bit different from recent years. At that time, counties that were close to a state hospital chemical dependency program would have their clients placed there at a cost of 10% to them. Other counties, which weren't so close, would use private chemical dependency programs and pay a higher rate. Those disproportionate costs, that is not tied to population, but simply to the geography and placement choices, have persisted to this day. And the result is that about 40% of the counties in Minnesota have what maybe we'll call excess MOE. That is, they complete their allocation target, and then have a period during which they can no longer pay just 15% and must bear 100% of the cost of every placement. Now, the responsibility of the county to continue to place remains, but their burden is at 100%. The other 60% of counties either have an MOE that is below that allocation target, that is, while they're making progress on the MOE and the allocation, their MOE ends before their allocation runs out. And so they, in effect, pay 15% until the end of the allocation and then move into the CCDPF, or the Consolidated Treatment Funds Reserve Fund, and when they continue to pay 15%. They never go into 100% pay status. Some other counties may have MOEs that are greater than their allocation amount, but their placing pattern doesn't result in any placements that get them beyond their MOE limit. That is, they're not placing as many people as their MOE anticipates, or their allocation anticipates, and so they pay effectively 15%. They never leave that allocation period. They never go into 100% pay status. And so that's how 60% has effectively a 15% match requirement, and 40% of the counties have more. And if you look at the original big spreadsheet that you've got and look down in the chemical dependency fund column, you'll see significant differences in the burden. And you can identify those counties with the highest burden as those who placed the most people in 1988 and used the more expensive treatment options at that time.
Is there any requirement for cities in this, or is this strictly a county?
No, Mr. Chair, there's not.
Representative Angel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, could you go back and clarify the connection between regional treatment centers and counties in the region geographically of where the regional treatment center was located? I hope I'm wrong, but I got the impression that counties that are in close proximity to regional treatment centers, which provided in the past chemical dependency services, or in fact do now, are punished. Mm. And their property taxpayers, many of which are in low property wealth counties, are unfairly jeopardized.
Mr. Chair, Representative, and I'm a planner rather than commissioner. Thank you. It's sort of the reverse. Those counties which had a nearby state hospital treatment program, and in that time, counties at that time, let me back up, counties didn't do the assessment and placement as they do today. It was as if it was, in a sense, common for people to be brought by someone who intervened on their behalf, convinced them that now it's time to go to treatment, and then took them to treatment at the nearest or most familiar facility in their area. That's how counties close to big hospitals ended up with lots of their residents in those lower cost facilities. So those proximate counties essentially had a discounted rate for the chemical dependency services that they were responsible for, had a share of. And that discount has persisted because of the base rate setting at that time.
Follow up, Mr.
Mr. Representative Angel.
Please jump back to the slide 20. Where you indicate that Itasca County has the lowest spending at zero. Just anecdotally, I know we have some chemical dependency in you, and I bet it's not.
Mr. Chair and Representative, yes, I think you're right. This is an anomaly. Itasca County has had a self-insurance system, IamCare, that essentially kept them out of this process. And so they're not representative of the other counties. They are now in the, they will participate with the Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund in future. But in our review of the past, they come up zero because they weren't participants.
Correct. Council Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure I followed fully the whole thing about jumping to 100%, but for some counties. But it sounded to me like the way things are set up, some counties actually have an incentive to not give treatment to people who may need it. I mean, besides having to pay a share that everybody has to pay. But I mean, am I correct in that? That some counties have, let's say, more disincentive than others to provide treatment?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, there is a disincentive to place, at least in the near term, because they are aware they bear this increased burden at some point, the point at which they cross over that allocation amount period and move into 100% pay status. Until that MOE has been met, and again it was set at all kinds of levels back in 1988, until that target has been reached, they must pay 100%. After that point, they revert to 15% share again.
Representative Liebling.
Mr. Chair, well then I guess the follow-up question to that is, do you see a variation in treatment rates across counties that responds to this differential incentive? I mean, is that when you're looking at who's getting treatment and who's not, are we seeing a real variation there?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes. We do notice some seasonal fluctuations in placement rates that suggest counties may be aware that they're nearing the end of their allocation and they're placing pace lessons. They slow down.
Representative Anzelt, former county commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just reflecting on Representative Loeffler, Representative Gottwald, and now Representative Liebling, we're asking this system to do the impossible, largely because over the last 25 years at a minimum, we've moved away from state supervision and county administration, and we've tried to fit a one-size-fits-all system for all of these populations, some of which are entitled, I shouldn't say entitled, some of which require a county match, some of which don't, without any regard to property values, without any regard to community values,
population,
without regard to the size of the target population, and without regard to the whole provider system. And lastly, and I know this, everybody's going to come see me after I say this, I'm sure, but for 25 years, the system has been driven by providers and advocacy groups. And the policy has been diluted. And then we require 87 county boards of commissioners to grapple with this in the real world at the local level and depend upon property tax. And it just doesn't work.
Any further questions?
I don't see any, so thank you for your testimony and starting to get clear. So now we have some additional people. Joe Matthews. Why don't you state your name for the tape and give your remarks, but we're almost out of time here.
Mr. Chair,
we probably get 10 minutes.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I am Jim Shug. I'm the Washington County Administrator, and I am accompanied here this afternoon by Washington County District 5 Commissioner Lisa White. And thank you for hearing our comments today on this important issue of maintenance of effort, and I will be brief. Mr. Chair, committee members, every year county commissioners set budgets and levies for dozens of important and critical services and programs, including such things as law enforcement, child protection, criminal prosecution, jail administration operations, elections, highways, probation, food assistance, child support, and many others. And they do so responsibly without any maintenance of effort requirements. Counties ask regularly, why are there such a very limited number of programs that are given this preferential treatment under state law and rules? Interestingly, in a growing county like Washington, programs with maintenance of effort requirements have always been funded at levels equal to or greater than the maintenance of effort minimum. As an example, in the past 15 years, Washington County has built, operated, staffed, and purchased collections for three new libraries to meet the needs in growing areas such as Woodbury, Oakdale, and most recently in Representative Detmer's district in Forest Lake and Hugo. However, in budget situations like we faced in 2003 and 2004 and are facing today, county boards need to have the flexibility to make decisions about budgets that balance the many different needs and programs. Interestingly, in building those libraries, we actually added to our maintenance of effort requirements for libraries, and we have continued to pay a higher maintenance of effort in libraries because of adding to the resources in that particular area. Programs that now have maintenance of effort requirements really should not be held out of the budget balancing process that we're facing these days in dealing with anticipated state aid cuts and also loss in our own revenue. Yesterday, for example, the Washington County Board began a budget adjustment process in which approximately $3.2 million in services, capital, operating costs, and personnel will be cut from our 2009 budget. The proposed cuts will affect virtually every area of county services except those with maintenance of effort requirements. Washington County does not believe that other critical services should experience greater reductions to compensate for those protected by maintenance of effort requirements. At a time when counties are being challenged to look at newer, better, more effective ways of delivering services, maintenance of effort requirements set funding levels based, as you've heard this afternoon, based only on historical spending patterns and arbitrary minimums. If we do in fact develop better, less costly ways of achieving service outcomes, we're still bound by those maintenance of effort minimum funding requirements. This really is an old-fashioned emphasis on spending rather than outcomes. As locally elected officials, we believe that county commissioners are in the best possible position to manage budgets and set property taxes and tax levies in ways that balance priorities, protect critical services, and meet the unique needs of county residents and communities. We do not need maintenance of effort requirements to make responsible decisions. This issue has been part of the Washington County legislative priority and legislative agenda for a number of years, and we ask that the committee support the elimination of all maintenance of effort requirements. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak this afternoon.
Representative Zellers.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sympathetic to some of the things you were saying. I'm just curious, We've been reading in the paper some of the counties, Mike County and Hennepin County Commissioners, had a pay raise on the table and all voted against it. I'm just curious, is Washington County, have the commissioners voted recently for a pay raise or an increase in salary?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the Washington County Commissioners did vote a pay raise for 2009 of 3.5%. Commissioner White, I must say, did not vote on that. She is a newly elected county commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Weebly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One question that I have, you know, as we're learning a little bit about these MOEs and how complicated they are, I'm just wondering if you have any estimate you can give us of how much it costs counties, either in dollars or personnel, just to figure out what you have to do with these things. Because it occurs to me that this is just an enormous bureaucratic nightmare to have to track and figure out if you're spending the right amount of money. Could you address that, please?
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I can only say that I don't know that counties spend that much time trying to figure it out. We do work closely with the various state supervising agencies that let us know approximately what our requirements are, particularly in the Chemical Dependency Consolidated Treatment Fund and libraries, where we certify certain cost information, spending information, and then are advised on what our new maintenance of effort levels will be. But as I said in my comments, Washington County has always met those requirements, but it is very complicated, and it is not based on any sort of a rational method or calculation that we could just sit down and compute. And I think the presentation by House Research today really indicated that.
Next testifier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm Jesus Brumfield, and I'm the Deputy Director of Health and Human Services in Scott County. And the Scott County Commissioners took a pay freeze for this year. I want to speak just a little bit about the maintenance of effort and how it impacts counties on our budgeting process. The maintenance of efforts that are established for specific programs create a number of problems for counties when we are handling our budgets and being accountable to taxpayers. They tend to treat programs as siloed service delivery systems as opposed to a comprehensive delivery system to meet the needs of our citizens. The issues that particularly I want to address with you very briefly are transparency, accountability, and service quality. Maintenance of efforts that are assigned to counties are basically a mandate to us of how to use county property tax. As such, we are accountable to our citizens to be able to answer them the questions of how is that amount determined, how is it tracked, and are we meeting it? Just to use the mental health MOE as an example, and when I talk about the mental health MOE, I'm not talking about any of the matching funds. We understand that those are very important in terms of balancing the state budget. I'm only talking about those that do not impact the state budget, that are purely a county maintenance of effort. This was passed in 2004. You heard a little bit of testimony about it, and it seems very clear in statute that it is an average of the county expenditures during the calendar year 2004 and 2005. Now, the reality is it's far more complicated than that. There is not a simple report to the state where they can decide what the county expenditures were. So they had to take several different reports, and it was a very great administrative difficulty for them to do this. But a number of different reports, and sometimes simply estimates. In addition to that, they estimated the amount of revenue that would be attributed to these programs. So, for example, it has nothing to do with the way I budget my money in Scott County or how Washington County budgets their money. So there's money that was coming into the county as flexible funds that was assigned as a percentage to this mental health maintenance of effort. Therefore, when I'm doing my budget, I don't know whether I'm budgeting sufficiently to meet the maintenance of effort. And when I look at my expenditures throughout the year, I still don't know. The state gives me back a report after a quarterly report to the state, the SIGA report, to tell me how I'm doing, and then they have to estimate forward. For example, in November of 2008, I received a report that estimated that I would meet my maintenance of effort, but it was based on a report that I gave them of expenditures through the end of June. So with 6 weeks left in the year, if I were not meeting the maintenance of effort, it's very difficult to adjust a budget to make it possible to meet the maintenance of effort. It also means when I'm dealing with the citizens at the Truth in Taxation hearing, I can't explain what the maintenance of effort is or how we will meet it or how that relates to the budget that I'm submitting to them. The accuracy of the reporting structure is also a difficulty for us. We report to the state on a brass reporting structure so that each of the expenditures I make, I tell the state what category they were in. There are a number of expenditures I make for children and adults with mental illness that don't get reported as mental health expenditures. For example, adults need employment services. They need to have employment in order to help manage their mental illness. But I can't report that as a mental health expenditure. That's reported as an adult services expenditure. If I'm a county that had been placing children in a residential treatment facility, and we had a county like that, who determined that it was really better for children not to be 200 miles away from home, but to be in treatment foster care within their own county at a reduced cost, but now all of those expenditures are reported as child welfare expenditures, so they don't count toward the maintenance of effort, so the county didn't meet their maintenance of effort. They provided a better service, more localized, that families wanted, and at a cheaper cost, but they didn't meet their maintenance of effort. Impact on service delivery. We're not necessarily able to determine at a local level what our citizens need. With their input, we can't make those decisions. We can't find more cost-effective, less expensive services and still meet our maintenance of effort. As our non-mental health revenues are decreased, for example, as our property taxes are decreased, our maintenance of effort doesn't go down. So what it means is we cut other programs. That's not fair to the citizens of our county who need to have input through their elected officials in terms of what their priorities are.
Yeah. We're going to have to, you're going to have to wrap it up, then we'll go to the last gentleman, and then the other folks will have to do it another day.
Let me summarize very briefly by saying a maintenance of effort that's simply a dollar amount is based on an assumption that the amount of money you spend determines the level of service you give, and that simply is not accurate. Thank you.
Although, Steve,
you have about
a minute
or
half
two.
A minute. Paul Fleissner, Olmsted County Community Services Director, and our commissioners also took a pay freeze. As Representative Liebling said, welcome to our nightmare with the maintenance of effort. You can imagine trying to build a budget after what you just learned, but we're required to do that. So if we're not given full maintenance of effort relief, I would suggest that we have some added flexibility, whether it's an aggregate maintenance of effort or other kinds of options we could discuss. But we need to start fixing this. Some of the services that we're not allowed to pay for under some of these restrictive maintenance of efforts and payment sources, for example, in the Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund, go against some of the best practices that we'd like to engage in. For example, the San Marco program in Representative Huntley's community is a great example that receives no Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund, yet the model of housing with supports we know is effective, and that program is demonstrating it. Some of our counties would like to do things like perhaps capitate a county or counties and look at best practices rather than the current system, models like housing with supports or harm reduction or integrated dual diagnosis treatment. I do think it's time to get creative. We all know we're under pressure to do so. You've heard what a nightmare we've got. And I think if we start to measure the kinds of things that get results, you know, we can do that, but we have to be given some flexibility around our budgets in order to move in that direction. I think now is an opportunity to do that. Failure to make any changes, I think, is a lost opportunity, and I hope you consider some major changes. And I'd like to just start the chant, hell no, no more mo.
Well, that's a tough one to top. And the other people that have signed up, I'll be glad to talk to them privately later, and I'll guarantee you there'll be some further hearings on maintenance of effort, particularly in this area. And I will say, you've mentioned San Marco, there's been about an 80% reduction in arrests and detox treatments for those people, so it is working. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.